Hello there, this is George Martin, and you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Oh, Brother George Martin, we have been trying to get back to George Martin's home for 7 years, and the schedule just won't let us. So, Brother George, if you're listening tonight, and sometimes he does, happy birthday to you. Well, friends, it was great spending more time with Jimi Hendrix's sister Janie last hour, and yes, if you haven't purchased a ticket for Experience Hendrix 3612, that's March 6th, do it now. That show is going to be sold out. Now, Jimi Hendrix would have loved to be with us in this final segment of 21st Century Radio. In the summer of 1968, one of the topics Jimmy and I discussed repeatedly was UFOs. You know, he said he saw at least one and experienced other things along those lines. Now, we're entering our 25th year of broadcasting on UFOs, the paranormal, alternative health, energies, science, this, that, these, and those. We've been told it's the longest ongoing radio show of its kind in America. And thank you, George Nori, who said this. Thank you for the format you've given us for years, way longer than me. Without you around, we wouldn't be the same. Well, same things to you, Uncle George. Now, back in the 60s and 70s, whenever we were interviewed on the networks, my God, it was terrible. It was always a disaster. And we're happy those days are over. And one of those reasons is shows like Ancient Aliens, created by Prometheus Entertainment and its president, Kevin J. Burns, who is joining us tonight to talk about how Ancient Aliens began, why it's become so successful, and his thoughts on December 21st, 2012 date, plus a lot more. We know one of the best reasons it's so successful is because of the scores of informed guests that they have on Ancient Aliens. Series 3, listen to this, friends. Series 3, we came across dozens of researchers that have joined us over the past quarter of a century. Robert Duvall, Bill Burns, Nick Redfern, Jim Mars, George Nori, William Henry, Dr. Mark Koltko Rivera, Eric Von Donica, David, you name it. I mean, scores and scores. But especially Dr. Donald Grinday, who was in my favorite segment of Ancient Aliens on the Founding Fathers, which was superb, even though they left out astronomer Benjamin Banneker. Maybe someday that'll be fixed. And Ancient Aliens, as seen on the History Channel 2, explores the most compelling evidence offered in support of ancient astronaut theory. From mysterious megalithic structures built thousands of years ago to astonishing evidence that spacecraft landed in certain locations around the world, and this series investigates one of the most fascinating and controversial theories ever proposed. And it's just entered its fourth season. My gosh. President, it's the president there. Hello, President Kevin Burns.
I'm here, Bob. It's very nice to talk with you.
Well, I'd love to get back and talk more about what you've accomplished, but I'm afraid that's going to limit a lot of other things we can't talk about. And I just read the Declaration of Independence there, and I think we've got to get right to these questions. Congratulations on one of the most superb series on the history of any type of television. Do you remember?
I also created the series, and I'm the executive producer.
Well, it serves you right.
Yes, I know. I didn't. You know, it's very funny how this show came to be. It was only originally going to be a two-hour special.
Oh.
And it was inspired. We had done a two-hour on the Indiana Jones movie. Mm-hmm. For Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
And in doing it, Lucas wouldn't tell us what that movie was about. All we had was the poster and the trailer. And when I saw the poster, I said, oh, I know what this is. It's Chariots of the Gods.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, everyone who worked with me who's under 40 didn't know what I was talking about. They'd never heard of Eric Von Daniken.
Oh, my God.
Never heard of Chariots of the Gods. And oh. I said, it was this incredible book, and then it was the documentary, Sun Classic Pictures. I went with my friends to the movie theater back when I was in high school, and it was all rhetorical questions. Could it be aliens from another world? And so anyway, we did this Indiana Jones documentary called Indiana Jones and the Ultimate Quest, and we did it in the style of Chariots of the Gods. Well, I told this story to the fellow who was head of programming at the History Channel, and he said, well, we would love to do Eric Von Daniken. And I said, well, I spoke with him last week. And he said, really? I said, yes, he's in Switzerland, and he's eager to be interviewed. And so it led to a two-hour special called Ancient Aliens, which there were several people at the network who thought it was a horrible idea, didn't think anybody would watch it, and thought it would be jump the shark moment of this network. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge hit. And they ran it over and over and over, and it was a huge hit over and over and over. And they came back to me, and they said, would you do five more two-hour shows? And I said, do you hate me? And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, how would you run these? And they said, well, we're going to run them every week. I said, no one watches a two-hour show every week. And they said, you don't want to do it? I said, of course I'll do it. So we did the first season, what we call the first season, and I did each episode based on a different rhetorical question, mm-hmm. which in the opening credits of the show, you'll notice there are five rhetorical questions. You know, along the lines of who were they, why did they come, what did they leave behind, will they return, et cetera. So those were the five big episodes. And I thought, well, that's surely it. That's going to be the end of it. And they called me back and said, would you do 10 more one-hour shows?
Wow.
And I've lost count, but we did 16 after that, and we're doing 15 for season four right now. And we never knew how big this was going to get or how incredibly interested the public was going to be in this topic.
Well, no doubt are they interested because, you know, my opening comments about when we used to do things even though we were interviewed by ABC, CBS, NBC, et cetera, you were with them all day. You got about 30 seconds, maybe.
Yeah.
And then most of the good stuff was on the cutting floor because they didn't believe you anyway. So it was...
Yeah, and we take the position that, you know, we're very open-minded, which is why the narrator, who, you know, in some ways is me. It's my alter ego. Mm-hmm. And I work with the writers on a lot of the scripts, and I work on a lot of the scripts. But I try really hard to have the narrator be very... open-minded, and that's why it's all based on these questions. Mm-hmm. And even if there are six or seven things in an episode that the audience would say, oh, well, I don't believe that or I don't buy that, there's always one or two things or five or six things in an episode where you go, huh, I can't dismiss that so quickly.
Yes, that's what I hear.
And I think that's the secret of the success of this show is that it probes your mind. It opens your mind, and it forces you to really think about questions that a lot of people, I don't think, have been asking themselves for quite a long time.
Well, they certainly did want to ask them. It's just that every time they did, they're being ridiculed or considered to be some kind of a troublemaker or something
I think, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I was raised Catholic, And, of course, that's, you know, very much about catechism and questions. Of course, they also tell you the answers. But I find this very compatible with a lot of the metaphysical issues that are raised in religion. And my feeling is if you're open to the notion of religion, you should be open to the questions that are being raised in this show.
Well, there's no doubt that Roman Catholicism has led the way in regards to accepting the possibility of there being extraterrestrials and UFOs. They've made it very clear for over 12 years. And I just think that that's one of the things that most people are not conscious of. I mean, that is extremely important because I do believe they have been able to resolve that problem, whereas in many of the other religion, so to speak, they're having a hard time with this, but Roman Catholicism doesn't.
Well, I mean, the Vatican came out just a few years ago and opened the idea that there is life on other planets, and that's not inconsistent with biblical teaching. And from my standpoint, science and religion are looking for the same answer. Mm-hmm. They're both looking for. In fact, this is how we approached the Indiana Jones documentary we did. Which is, why do we dig? Well, extinct because we are an orphan species that has no memory of where we come from, and we're looking for God. We're looking for Daddy. We're looking for the origin of who we are and why we're here.
Exactly.
And those, I think, have led, those questions have led this series on this path where we may never know the answer, but the process discovering through this journey, through the questions, is what I think is going to keep people interested quite a long time.
Well, I'll say, well, look, you've opened, we're going to talk a little while about season four, which is just extraordinary, the titles that I'm looking at right here. It's the kind of thing, believe it or not, you know, if you would have, back in the old days, when I mean the old days, I mean the late 60s, I was going to be doing record album covers for various rock groups. So my job, I was called up to by Elektra Records to go talk to rock and rollers, and because they kind of felt like, well, Bob, you know all of this stuff about the paranormal and UFOs, and this is what Hendrix is interested in, this is what Morrison and the Doors and all these other groups were. And it was really an extraordinary experience to bump into a group of individuals. Now, you're very familiar with the pyramid and the eye and the triangle, right?
Oh, sure.
You've got it through the History Channel in regards to the Founding Fathers, etc. Well, most people are not aware of that in 1966, the rock and roll posters of 1966 were using the pyramid and the eye and the triangle. Most of the rock and rollers had a great love for this symbol, and the limited time that I spent with Jimi Hendrix, that was the first thing, Kevin, that we talked about, was that pyramid in the eye in a triangle in some little place up there in New York City with Eric Clapton and Beck and everybody else in the background. It was just extraordinary to hear this man. We weren't talking about music, Kevin. We were talking about what they considered to be the most important things that they wanted to know about. And I wasn't teaching them anything. They already knew about it. But we were all trying to resolve it. Now, here we are 40-some years later, and you have resolved a lot of that history.
Well, I think we haven't resolved it so much as I think we've opened a door that other people hadn't opened. I mean, and the other thing that I think is extraordinary is the places we go, you know, and where else on television are they really exploring ancient culture, ancient civilization, Babylonian texts?
Oh, yeah.
Comparing them to, you know, Central and South American cultures. I mean, you know, I was struck, we got a kind of a scathing review from an academic, a professor, who accused the series of being colonialist. And, you know, the idea being, well, you know, this show takes a standpoint that, you know, the people from, you know, these third world countries and Central and South America couldn't possibly have had advanced culture, advanced technology. It had to be aliens. And this writer, this academic went on from there. And my argument is, wait a minute, who's being colonialist? It is these very same people who built these pyramids or built these temples who claim they were assisted by beings from other planets, creatures from other worlds. They ascribed their knowledge to the gods. So all we're doing is saying, well, what if that's true? What if they did know the difference between reality and fantasy? These were not creatures of the imagination, but these were historical beings. We're taking the ancient peoples at their word. We're not imposing our attitude. We're validating theirs.
That is an extremely important point. You really hit the nail on the head, Kevin. Do you mind my calling you Kevin?
Oh, sure. No,
Kevin, you know, that's really key. It really is key because in the past, this is one of the reasons why the Native Americans in this country have never been understood and have not been treated well. A lot of it has to do with historians who are professional historians from academia with 17 PhDs coming around and saying, you know, well, you know, they didn't do anything that was that important and they got all these kind of crazy myths. And, you know, I'm not going to why they're not going to pay attention to those myths. Well, they missed the most important stories. You really should be able to trust those individuals who have lived it and have no reason to lie or make things up from that perspective. And you're right. You were able to demonstrate through from Sumeria to Egypt to Greece, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what was going on in the minds of those who really were laying the foundations to these cultures and where they got their influence.
Well, and it's interesting. I went to film school at Boston University, and a classmate of mine is from India, and actually we have hired him in the last couple of seasons to help us whenever we do a shoot in India on location, and he helps us with the crew, and his name is Shiloh. And he said, for you, this is, fantasy. He said, for us, this is history.
Mm, yes.
He said, this, you don't realize that we have always believed this. Mm-hmm. And, so there is, my attitude is that the prevailing archaeological attitude, which, purports to be scientific, very closed-minded on these topics. And I think if you take the ancient text, ancient religion at their word, which, by the way, the very same people who, who are Christian or Catholic, who believe the Bible, believe that. Many Christians and Catholics believe the Bible, and Jews believe the Old Testament is history.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we not look at these other ancient texts and these other ancient religions in any other way?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think someday you're going to say something I don't agree with, Kevin.
but it's interesting. As I said, science and religion are both looking for the same answers.
Yes.
I mean, science, uses deductive reasoning, and religion uses inductive reasoning, but they're both, they're both looking for the question of who are we, where did we come from, I was very influenced years ago when my father died over 20 years ago, and at the time when I was mourning my dad, the Bill Moyers interview with Joseph Campbell were on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the whole Masks of God series, and that I thought was fascinating, and it actually led us to do the kinds of work that we've done with Lucasfilm,
mm-hmm.
because we've done a series of documentaries. A big documentary we did for History Channel was called Star Wars: The Legacy Revealed, which opened the door for a lot of this kind of programming, and led to the Indiana Jones show and led to Aliens. But it's all very compatible with whether it's religious teaching, whether it's Joseph Campbell, whether it's Native American culture. I think the purpose of Ancient Aliens is to investigate and, to some extent, reconcile what's been going on around the world for centuries, and yet no one has looked at it in this way before.
And also the fact that academia has absolutely refused in the past to consider this material, and they've made a very big mistake because they did not consider that any Native American or anyone else who did not even have a language was unintelligent as far as they were concerned. Big mistake, because there are various other levels of intelligence, especially when you get into the work, as you've already pointed out, with Joseph Campbell, who I greatly admire. He had a lot to do with my doctoral thesis and other work that I've done. But we need to take a break right now. So time out on the playing field with our guest, Kevin Burns, president of Prometheus Pictures and executive producer of the Ancient Alien series, which just premiered its fourth season on the History 2 channel. The link to their website is PrometheusEntertainment.com, and that's on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com.
Yeah, this is Ziggy Marley saying love, and you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus. One love, y'all.
Well, this is one of the most interesting interviews, you know. Over the years, I've been doing interviews, but this one is very special.
Hey, friends, you know, we'll be spending some time with the Hendrix folks again, but let me tell you something you haven't heard yet. Ringo Starr is coming to Baltimore, to the Baltimore Symphony. That is going to be, I believe, June 24th, 2012. We have been working on getting Ringo to come to Baltimore and Sir George Martin. Maybe sometime in the future we'll be able to do that. My friends, those tickets are going to go on sale in just about a week or so, and they will be gone. They will be gone within a day or two. You can best believe that. The same way that the Hendrix is selling out Ringo, we're looking forward to that. As a matter of fact, we'll be spending a little time backstage with those folks. We'll be twisting the night away. Well, not twisting the night away, but something like that. And, of course, our guest right now is Kevin Burns, president of Prometheus Pictures and executive producer of Ancient Alien series, which just premiered its fourth season on the History 2 channel. And the link to their website is PrometheusEntertainment.com and is on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Okay. Kevin, before it gets to be too late, I had other questions, but let's get to one that's most important. Now that we're in 2012, what are your thoughts regarding the Mayans calendar's ending date of December 21st, 2012?
I hope they were wrong. Yeah. In other words, you know, it was so funny. I read Twitter when the show is airing, because it's fascinating to see the chat that goes on when an episode is airing. Mm-hmm. And our season premiere, the network ran the Mayan conspiracy from 9 to 10, and then from 10 to 11 they ran the Doomsday Prophecy, which was about 2012. And one of the comments on Twitter said that let's hope all of the people who are interviewed for this program have chosen not to extend their contracts beyond December 21st, and let's see if they can put their money where their mouth is.
Well, right, let's hope that they're wrong on those particular. Now, you know, there was something else that you noted here, which I was not aware of, and that's not unusual, but in regards to a recent South Park episode featuring ancient aliens?
Oh, yes.
Could you tell us about that, please?
Well, I mean, we had nothing to do with it, but it gave us quite a chuckle because, you know, the South Park people, you know, I think they're demented geniuses anyway. But when I saw the episode, I thought, we're in for it. But then when you watch it, it curiously validates the program. Mm-hmm. Because it starts off kind of mocking the program, and then it turns itself around, because just when everyone in the particular episode thinks it's all, you know, kind of phony, and they play the executives at the History Channel as if they're characters out of Men in Black, all of a sudden aliens come from other planets and validate the entire premise. So I thought, well, these guys are probably bigger fans than most everyone would think.
Yeah.
Because they had fun with it, but they didn't invalidate the premise of the show.
Wow, that is something. Now, to your series, Ancient Aliens Season 4, you started with the Mayan conspiracy, is that correct?
Yes, the Mayan conspiracy. The network, you know, History Channel, it's extraordinary what's really happened. I mean, the History Channel has become huge, you know, and I have to say I've done a lot of work over the years with A&E, with History Channel, with Lifetime, with the sister networks. And it's a great group of people. I mean, it's just a wonderful group of executives and development people who we work with. And we've been working with them ever since the days of Biography on A&E. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, they came to me, even Book of Secrets, which we also produced the show, America's Book of Secrets, started off, you know, with them calling me, and they said, hey, we think you'd be a great person to develop this idea with us. And it, we did the President's Book of Secrets, and then it led to America's Book of Secrets, which, Bob, God bless you for being in. And I thought you added immeasurably to the program.
Well, thank you.
And that gave us a wonderful start, and they saw a first cut of America's Book of Secrets, which, again, like Ancient Aliens, was a two-hour show. And they said, we want 10 more of them.
Wow.
And so we're doing that series. But what they did is the History Channel found that they were, in a sense, out of real estate, meaning their shows were so successful that they didn't have room for new shows.
Oh.
And they didn't have a place to put more traditional, quote-unquote, traditional History Channel programming. So they did something very shrewd, very wise, and I would say it was risky, except that it seems to be working very well, which is they took History International, which was kind of a dormant network that ran reruns of History Channel programming. And they've rebranded it last fall, and they've been kind of doing it over the course of time, as H2, More to History. And it's a brilliant idea to now, in a sense, add another 7 days a week of potential programming, not to take away from the History Channel audience, but to kind of bring the viewers into another network, as it were. And so Ancient Aliens, which had been doing very, very well on History, they thought it was very appropriate, along with Book of Secrets, to use Ancient Aliens to help build this new network. So this season, Ancient Aliens has moved to H2, Friday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern time. But again, if you have satellite, it's on at 7 o'clock on the West Coast. So you have to really check your listings. But America's Book of Secrets, which is on Saturday nights, and Ancient Aliens, which is now on Friday night, seems to be doing very, very well. And so they did a stunt last Friday, where from 9 to 10, they ran simultaneously on H2 and on the big History Channel, the Mayan Conspiracy. And then if you wanted to see the second half of the story, you went over to H2. And we'll find out tomorrow afternoon when the ratings come out whether or not this was a successful move. But from every indication I'm getting, people seem to have loved it. And this coming Friday is episode number 3 of season 4, which is The Greys, where we're kind of, for the first time, really looking at the what today's UFOologists and alien theorists call the Greys, and tracing their origins back into ancient times.
Well, that's extraordinary to be able to do that. But look, you know, you're guys like David Silver and Eric Norman, these guys are pretty, you know, they're pretty advanced in their thinking. These guys.
Well, David was my producer on America's Book of Secrets, and he still is producing that show. And Rich Monahan is my executive producer, my co-executive producer on Ancient Aliens, along with Max Thompson. And we have a great group of people on all of these shows. I have to tell you, I'm blessed with very gifted producers, researchers, writers, and editors who comb the world for this material. And we couldn't do it without a really dedicated group of people that are very excited about this show.
So after The Greys, Aliens and Mega Disasters.
Mega Disasters, yes. I mean, we're getting into the possibility that there could be extraterrestrial forces that are involved in everything from, Earth's seemingly natural disasters, but are they natural disasters?
Mm-hmm.
Could these be engineered in a way that would alter our future or redistribute our population? And then after that, we're doing the NASA connection, because there are an enormous number of American astronauts and global astronauts who claim that they've seen things. And we're going to touch on Wernher von Braun, the origins of the American space program, and getting into that. And then we have a whole season of, 15 hours to cover. And I think what we're doing this season, as opposed to season three, you know, because again, the show just kind of grew out of, as I said, a series of specials and then 10 one-hour shows. Last season we did 16 one-hour shows. And last season we did a lot of metaphysical topics because we wanted to explore just how far we could go thematically with the show. This season, season four, we're getting more into going deeper instead of wider, meaning we're taking things that we've covered in the past, like the Maya or the pyramids or NASCAR and the Nazca lines, and getting deeper and deeper into it in a way that we've never been able to do before.
Well, that's a brilliant thing to do, Kevin, because when you introduce a topic, and then because you, as you know, these shows will repeat throughout the year.
Oh boy, they repeat throughout the day. I think Friday they had about 20 of them back to back.
Well,
but everything up till now, in other words, what I would tell the viewers is that everything up till the fourth season was what I call the Whitman sampler, meaning it was kind of the general surveys. Mm-hmm. That we're kind of exploring the wide range of topics that this series can get into. And now that we've done that and laid that foundation and built that audience base, we're going to be able to have more fun going a lot deeper, as we did on Friday night with 2 full hours just investigating the Maya, their culture, their language, the calendar, extraordinary things. I have to tell you, I learned more from doing this show than I've learned in decades. And we keep an open mind. I don't believe everything that is put forward. I mean, some of the people who theorize connections, I have to say I remain skeptical. But there's always in every episode for me 4 or 5 things that I cannot dismiss that keep me, just as the producer of the show, keep me begging for more.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, let me just list the rest there before we have run out of time. Secrets of the Pyramids. Now, there's a lot of secrets about pyramids. I'm telling you, I can't wait to see that one. And here's a good one.
The thing that was fascinating to us when we did one of the original 5 specials was that the Pyramid of Giza, and I did not know this. Everyone always assumes there was a mummy there, a body there, a king there, that there were hieroglyphics. And there weren't. And I thought one of the most compelling notions was that it could have been a power plant.
Yeah, that's.
And
a
if
good
you open point. Your mind to that, and by the way, when you look at how it was constructed, it almost couldn't be anything else. And when you open your mind to that, it totally shatters what we think the ancient Egyptians were capable of. And then it begs the question, what happened, and where did they get this technology?
Well, Kevin Burns, I want to thank you for joining us and thank you for doing this work, not just for the United States of America, but for the rest of the planet. Elevating consciousness, bringing people together is a really important thing to do during these times. And I just think you've done extraordinary work.
Well, thank you, Bob, and thank you for your contributions, and we hope to contact you again.
Well, that would be great. Well, friends, next week, the Queen, Dr. Queen Zahara, rejoins us. And you know what she's going to do? Well, she's going to introduce you to various individuals that, remember that show last week on bees? Do you remember what she taught us about bees, bringing in the experts of why we're losing all of the bees? Well, that was very important. And they got solutions. We'll be seeing you next week here on 21st Century Radio. And then again, thank you, Kevin Burns and Ancient Aliens.
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Lisiarith.